Please turn to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be going over verse 7, but I'm going to kind of pick it up in verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. And I got to get going on this thing, because as I got into this verse, the Lord put it on my heart to go over Colossians 2, 7. I was like, okay, you know, fine. You know, I didn't think about anything about time. As I got into it, though, I was like, wow, this is like chock full of stuff. And I've got to get going, you know, on this thing. I can't be beating around the bush like I am right now. So, anyway, let's go ahead and read it. Read starting verse 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walking in him. So, you know, how did we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Through truth, right? Somebody led us to the Lord, showed us, you know, that we were sinners, that we were, that we needed somebody to save us, right? It was the truth of the Word of God being confronted with that, and we saw it, and we received it. When we receive, if you truly, sincerely receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you saw it, it was truth, right? You believed it, what He did for us on the cross. And so you received it in truth. If you look over in Colossians chapter 1, kind of, you get an idea what how they received the truth as well. And it says, let's pick it up in verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. They received the grace of the word of God, or the grace of God in truth. The same thing, same as us. They received the truth. And so he says we're supposed to walk in that truth. Right? And you go on in verse, and so, you know, thinking about, you know, it's easy to say, you know, most Christianity, we look out and we can see something happened in between there, from the time that they got saved, when they believed in truth, to the walking part, because it's supposed to, you know, that's the starting point, and we're supposed to keep going in that truth. Well, something happened there. It's kind of like the whole, like Genesis 1, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2 thing. There's something that happened. We know it happened in there. And that seems to happen in Christianity a lot. Something happens from the time you get saved, and then they stop. You know, they believe in the truth, but they don't continue on in the truth. And so, we can look out. Can I have some water? So, we can look out and we can say, oh, yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are lost that way. I mean, it happens that way. They're walking in something, right? Walking in, they get back to the world, or they're something ends up happening, right? Okay, so us, right? Let's take it to here, this body. Okay, we have the truth. We know we're supposed to be walking in. So what's going on right now with us? Are you walking in truth? Are you continuing to walk in truth? And so that's what gets me into verse 7. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this body, Lord. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for making it clear to us, and I pray that we would, Lord, we talk about pressing and striving and trying to, you know, get the reward, Lord, and I pray that we would do whatever it takes, Lord, to reach the prize, to press and do everything we need to do in this life to glorify you, to please you, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would clearly speak through me, Lord, as I share what you've put on my heart, Lord, and that we take the truth from your word and just run with it, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much, here. Just one of the little ones. So if you want to get the door, they can skip. You can say, see ya. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, according abounding therein thanksgiving. That first part, rooted. And I started looking at that word, and, you know, everybody's heard the phrase, like, you got to get back to your roots, right? You can't forget your roots. And you know, a lot of times I think about a lot of times people that have come up maybe from nothing and now they have money or they're famous or whatever, and some people, maybe people that, you know, want to hate on them or whatever, they want to say, oh, you guys, they forgot the roots, you know, forgot where they came from. So that's another thing about that spiritually. You know, when we all came here, it'll be 10 years in April. So it's pretty awesome. It's like flown by. And at the same time, it's been, you know, a journey too. But when we came here, pretty much it's everybody here, adults, you know, that you came here because you heard the truth. And it wasn't, and it was like woke us up. For me, it woke me up. And it did something. And I was like, whoa, that's real. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so, and I was like, okay, this is where I got to be. And, you know, I was trying to learn, and I was hungry, and I was, you know, getting rooted, right, in what I'm supposed to be rooted in the foundation, which is Christ, right? And so, I guess what I'm asking you, are we still in that same place right now, 10 years later? Are you still in that same place? Wherever you came, I don't know when, most of us, I think we've been here for at least 3 years, right? Or if you start at the beginning, whatever. Are you still in that same place? Are you still hungering and getting rooted in the Word of God, in the foundation? Are you still there, or do you forget your roots? Look in, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." These people had received the word. They received it in truth, just like the people at Colossae, right? They received the truth. They got saved. You go on down, look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." They did believe. They didn't believe. They had received the truth, right? It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So somewhere along the line, they started in the truth, and then now they're way over here. They're way far away. So what happened? Well, they forgot the roots. They forgot where they're rooted in. They forgot that they stopped following the truth at some point in time. They didn't just, like, one day, they're all of a sudden over here. Somewhere along the line, they stopped getting rooted in that truth that they started in. They moved, and now they're way off base. Look at Galatians, because there's the other church that's very obvious that they did the same thing. Galatians chapter 4, and verse 9. It says, "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" They are supposed to, they've started in truth, but now they're trying to root in back into the world where they, back the old man, the old stuff that the Lord cut them loose from. Now they're trying to get back, root back into that world, that old stuff. And he's like, "Why are you going back to that? What's going on?" And of course, the famous verse, Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." They forgot where they came from. They forgot their roots. They forgot what they're supposed to be planted in and growing in. Now, this last summer, it was my second year with the garden. And so that was a better year. And but you know, everybody, there's a lot of people that have a garden. You know, I'm looking out at you guys, and you know how, like, the labor that goes into it. And I expanded it a little bit. I built another box, and I tilled up the ground. I got new dirt. I even got some, like, horse manure from this iron worker that said, "Oh yeah, this add it. It's gonna be awesome. You know, tomatoes gonna be awesome." So did all that, tilled it up. Added it to the dirt, the organic dirt that I got, but there's a lot of work into it. I started my plants inside with seeds, and I cared for them, nurtured them, put them, you know, just everything was nice, they were growing good. I, you know, took them out there, and it's not just take them out there and you're planting them in. It's like, I look at the forecast, let's see what the, you know, the weather's going to bring up ahead, because I don't want them to get, you know, to get a storm to come or the next day or whatever. I want to make sure that it's the right time, okay? So I went out there, and I labored in that thing, and I was out there every day. I was watering, I was, you know, when I needed the food, fertilizer, whatever, I'd feed them. I was looking at the leaves, you know, oh, something's chewing this up, so I'd flip it over. Let's try to find it, you know, because you could lose a plant like in a night or something, or two nights or whatever. So you got to, I mean, you'd be out there all the time, and you got to water it all the time, and make sure, like, Jamie, you got to help me out. I mean, we got to be like-minded in this, because I can't be there all the time. I got to work, so we got to be same that we got to be, you know, in this. I got to make sure that these things, you know, produce and all that. And so, anyway, you know, they bring fruit, and it was great. But then there's the time, I don't know if every gardener comes to this point, but at least I do. At the end of the summer, it's like, okay, I've had my fill, and it's like, kind of stop watering, stop caring so much, you know. And you just like, you know, not, you know, water them every day anymore, and then it's like, I don't want any more cucumbers at all. I had like 5 cucumber plants, and it was ridiculous. So anyway, but I found out, it's like, but I was thinking about those roots, you know, it's like those roots are you know, of course, important, because they're rooting every day. They're seeking at water. They're seeking food. They're trying to get that plant to grow up and be strong. And you know, and what happens, you know, if that root's not doing its job or whatever, then it's done. You know, the plant's done. It's dead. Same thing with us. When we're walking, we're supposed to be walking out of truth. We need to be rooted every single day. We need to be rooted, you know, seeking the truth, feeding all the time. If we're not, then it's over, right? I mean, that's where it starts out. And this is cool, because it's kind of like a progression here in this verse. And so, yeah, every day you've got to be rooted in that truth, making sure that we're feeding and drinking, getting all the things that we need, the nutrients, right? And let me see. Okay, so let's move on, because I got to keep going. Okay, go back to Colossians again. So it says, rooted and built up in Him. Next part. So built up in Him, built in the truth. And we make sure that we're, what we're building, right? What are we building up in? Because you need to make sure that we're, you know, what are we doing with the truth? We get the truth every week here, all the time, and hopefully we're getting it every single day, right? What are you doing with that truth? What are you building in? What are you doing with it, what you're getting? Are you doing anything with it, or are you just letting it go? Because that's going to be it's going to be evident one day of what you did with it, what you're building in. Are you building in the truth? Right, going back to the garden thing one more time real quick, because this is an awesome example. I had the tomato plants. My first year, I had these like little bitty cages, about like that, that I thought would be enough. You know, these little bitty cages for the tomatoes, because tomatoes need something to hold on to, right? And they were terrible, okay? It was like these plants, you know, end up getting super tall, and they were like falling over onto each other. They were mixed in together. It was all tangled up. Luckily, that first garden I had up by the shed, and so they were kind of leaned up against the shed, or else they would have been like on the ground, you know? And so this year, and Ted's probably a little bitter about this, but I had these awesome rebar cages that were, my dad had them, he gave them to me, and they were perfect, and they were, you know, about this big around, they were like pretty tall, and they staked in the ground, and all that, and it worked out great, because when those plants came up, you know, you still have to stake them, or tie them off or something as they're coming up to help them, you know, stabilize themselves when they're growing, they go out, they branched out, and it was awesome. So, but I was thinking about that. The tomato plant without anything is pretty weak. You know, it's going to flop over really soon. You know, right? You know, it's going to grow, but then eventually it can't sustain itself, and it's going to flop over. And when that does that, it'll, you know, fall over, break the stalk or whatever, and you know, it's going to probably die. And but I was thinking about being built up in Him, right? Being built up like those plants when they have something to hold on to, then they're going to be, you know, awesome. They're going to get up there, they're going to do what they're supposed to be doing. I thought about that, being if we're building in the right things, it's going to last. It's going to be able to bear fruit, and it's going to abide after the fire, right? It's going to be something that's going to last. But if it's not, if you're building in something that's temporal, then it's going to just fall over, right? Just like that, just like the plant, just like what we're kind of like a good picture of what we are, right? We're building in the deceit of this world, or lies of this world, or trying to root back in to this world. It's not going to last. It's going to be evident. It's either going to be evident in this life, or it's going to be evident at the judgment seat of Christ. Somewhere along the line, it's going to be revealed what happened. What we're rooting, what we're building in, right? And look over in looking at 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 10. Because Paul talks about that, you know, that we're building something, and that we need to take heed. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." We need to make sure, what are we building? And, you know, are we sure that it's based in the truth? Or is it in something else? It's like you got to do a check every day. Make sure that everything that I'm doing is according to God's word. It's what He wants me to do. And it's, you know, rooted in the truth, based in the truth. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So he's like, why are you coming to me calling me Lord when you're not doing what I'm telling you to do? Right? If he's our Lord, we're going to obey, we're going to do what he says. But he says, I'm going to show you, though, the person that does do what I say. This is what they're like. He said in verse 48, he says, "He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." If what you're building in right now, if you're building in Him, building in truth, according to the truth of the Word of God, it's going to last. And it's going to be able to weather the storm. If you're not, it's going to fall over. It's all going to burn. And he says, if you're doing what you're learning here, if you're taking and applying it, then it's gonna last. Look at verse 49. He says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." It will be evident what you were building in. Look at Psalm 127. Verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Right? Unless the Lord is building this thing, then you're wasting your time. Because it's not gonna last. It says, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh but in vain." You know, we could keep going and you come here and get the truth every day, you know, every week or whatever, and do all the, you know, take in the word and all that stuff. Okay. But unless you're living that truth, doing something with it according to God's word, then it's going to be in vain. Unless you're taking what you're learning and doing something with it, building in Him. Because like I said, every day you're building something. You go out, I go out every day. I talk to the guys about Mondays. You know, I can't, like, despise Mondays. They're hard for me. I come off the weekend, I love, you know, being with my family and all that. And then Monday comes, 4:30, the alarm goes off, and it's like, I realize I got to go back to work. I got to drive an hour, and I got to work 10-hour days, you know, all these things, like, go in my mind. and Lacing, you know, it's like a powerhouse. It's like dirty, there's pigeons and pigeon poop everywhere. It's just, you know, and a bunch of iron workers and boilermakers, and these guys are, you know, rough. I don't want to be around them. Anyway, so I could have that attitude, you know, right back. But, you know, and I could look forward, kind of like I was saying to the guys too this morning, is I could look forward to Saturday and Sunday and look past everything. But then that means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are in vain. They're blown. And I didn't do anything for the Lord at all. But every single day, I'm thinking that it can't be like that. It can't be. I've got to be doing something every single day, making every single day count. And so, starting off right, I've got to be rooted. And what I'm building, when I'm there for a reason. I'm there. The Lord is teaching me things. I mean, I've been, this year, I've been dealing with a lot of pride things. He's been knocking me down, you know. I've messed some stuff up, you know, at work. Not big things, but I've done, you know, and you know, I've been in for 16 years. I feel like that, you know. I've been around for a lot longer than a lot of guys. But you know what? I learned, hey, you know what? That's, you know, it's fine. It's okay. I've dealt with it, and it's no big deal. As long as I go back to the Word, you know, and deal with those things, and, you know, but anyway, all these things, it's like every day I can do it because of and make an eternal you know, building or whatever, add to something eternally. So I'm thinking like that and making sure that everything, that the reason I'm there is doing everything in Him, because of Him, right? As unto Him. So like, let's go back to Colossians. Rooted and built up in Him, which is established in the faith. Established. You know, being set. Something that's going to stand, right? Proven out. Kind of like where the, I guess, where the rubber meets the road, or where you just making sure that you're dug in, right? You're set, and you're not going to be moved. And it's important that we're established, right, in the faith, in the truth of the Word of God, and that nothing, no matter what, is going to move us. And we have a good, awesome example. And look at well, first of all, I was going to go to 2 Timothy 2 first. Second Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Because this is, this is like the best example of somebody that's going to be able to stand and to take whatever you know, comes their way. Awesome example of a soldier. I mean, this is awesome warrior, right? 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And, you know, a good soldier, you're going to endure. You're going to be able to endure whatever comes your way. You're set in. Nothing's not going to move you. Nothing's going to move you. No matter what it is, whatever comes, you're going to be there, right? Just like, and if the Lord doesn't come back 10 more years, you know, in 10 years, and we're still, it's been 20 years since this church has started out, are we all going to still be here, right? And are you set in? Are you set? Are you established in the faith? You know, that's going to be the evidence right there. In 10 more years, if the Lord doesn't come back, are you going to still be here? Right? And if you're here, are you going to be that much closer to Him? Are you going to be growing closer to Him? We need to be set. You know, somebody that is a good soldier is going to, no matter what, you're there. I'm in. Right? We bought in when we came here, when we heard the truth of the Word. We're like, yes, that's it. I know what I want. That's the prize. I want it. I'm going to be here no matter what. No matter what happens, I'm going to weather it. Verse 4, he says, no man at war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I saw the American Sniper. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I'm not going to spoil it or anything. But But he was a SEAL. And I've seen some stuff about Navy SEALs and I've read, you know, book about them. And I mean, they had the same mentality. And they're awesome as far as being focused on whatever that task is or their battle or wherever they're going. And they watch each other's backs like nobody else. And, I mean, like totally focused on whatever war they're in or whatever they're doing. It's like, that's it. And I've also got you guys, right? I'm watching you and we're going to get this done. And they're not good husbands or fathers, right? Because they're focused on that battle. And they'll, even when they come home, you know, and have leave or whatever, they're still training, right? And they're still thinking about that battle. They're still thinking about that war, whatever is going on. And like I said, they're still training. They're going to exercises or whatever, and they're still planning. Even when stuff isn't going on, they're still out there, and they have to be ready all the time. I mean, it's like a focus, like you wouldn't believe. It's crazy. But I thought, spiritually, that's how we should be too. You know, not getting tangled with the things of this world at all. It's like, that's not going to bother me at all. I am focused. And so we need to be focused on what the eternal, right? That mindset of that focus. It is like, you know, this lost man can do for this physical battle. We can do the same thing spiritually. We can do it. And we'd be set. And that's how they are. It's like, they're going to be there. They're going to be able to set, you know, dig in, and they're going to be there for the long haul. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Because this is a good example of people doing it. 1 Thessalonians 3, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So we, you know, there were, they knew there was things going on at Thessalonica that they were going through their, you know, afflictions, right? So he's like, I need to find out what's going on, because he invested in them. So he sends Timotheus to find out, to make sure that they're established in the faith and, you know, comforted. Because, and he goes on by saying that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there too. He's like, I don't want anybody to be moved, okay? I don't want to lose anybody. So I want to make sure that they're established, because I told them this is going to happen, right? You're going to go through afflictions. He goes on in verse 4 saying, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass." And you know, I told you it was going to happen. You're going to go through tribulation. It's going to happen. He says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." So it was a, you know, he went there, they're walking in charity and faith, they had good remembrance of them. And not like good remembrance of their faces or what they look, you know, they talk like or whatever, good remembrance of the doctrine, of what they were taught. That's what they remember. They had good remembrance of it. And they were walking in charity and faith. They were doing it. They were going through these afflictions, but they were set. They were established. They were doing it, right? And those things, whatever they're going through, they were still doing it. It was they got a good report. That's the same thing how we should be as well. We need to be standing and set in the truth. Let's go back to Colossians again. He says, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught." Right? Just like he's talking about Thessalonians. "As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So I'll look at that, abounding. Abounding, we should be abounding in truth. And that's another example of your growth, right? We should be always abounding. And we know, we think about that. I think there's different things that we can see through our own lives that we're, you know, we can go through this list or whatever. We know, okay, something's not right. I know I'm not doing a certain area. you know, I'm not abounding or whatever. Okay, what's wrong? What's going on, man? And but instead, sometimes instead of like checking to see what's wrong, we just keep going, right? And then we end up like the Corinthians or the Galatians, you know, that happens. Instead of, it's like we're getting these warnings here, right? We're not, you know, this is, we're supposed to be abounding, you know, and all these things, spiritually abounding. You know, when I have, I'm like a terrible, not a good car person at all. I have bad luck with cars, and so I've decided, you know, I get newer cars, as you can see, I've got newer cars, not brand new, but newer cars, because I just, you know, they end up breaking down, and that's kind of my problem, because you might hear something, and I probably don't get it fixed, or don't get it checked out right away, you know, I just ignore it, because I'm thinking, money, I'm losing money, because I don't have to fix that, I know something's going wrong there, which is like foolish, because, you know, it's going to happen, it's going to break down, and then, you know, I'm gonna be in trouble, whatever. It's gonna cost more money probably in the end. But the same thing spiritually, you know. And this is kind of aside from this whole thing, but if there's something going on, you know, and you realize that you're not walking in the right way, or something that is not going according to the way the Word says, you know, you're supposed to be. Well, you get stopped. What's the problem? Fix it. Get it right there. Do not end up like. This is bad examples, right? So we're supposed to be abounding in truth. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? We're supposed to be, it should be abounding. Your relationship with Christ spiritually should be abounding. You know, you're getting close to the Lord. All those things, right? Your life, your prayer, whatever, should be abounding. Right? We're not supposed to be stagnant or going backwards or whatever. Look at Philippians 1:9. There's a couple other examples. Philippians 1:9. It says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may prove things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Paul's praying that they, in order to make it and stand unashamed, they're going to have to be abounding in their love, right? It's going to have to be moving forward, you know, yeah, growing, right? An abundance of that, or else they're not going to make it. That's why he's praying for that. And so if that's not happening, then you know, stop. Okay, what is wrong? I need to be abounding, right? Another place, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 8, verse 7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's saying, as you abound in everything, right? All these things, you're supposed to be abounding. It should be a proof of that we're walking with the Lord. We're abounding in our relationship with Him, growing in prayer. And every year we get a vision. You know, we don't just stop that vision and move on to something else. I mean, that whatever it was before, we should be continuing to abound in all those things, those areas that the Lord is pointing out to us, right, this year. Whatever, we don't forget it. We keep growing. We keep perfecting and getting closer and abounding in those things. You know, my relationship with my wife, my kids, all those things. Ministering to the people at work, all those things, you know, should be getting, it's like a product of my relationship with the Lord. Because I'm perfecting, I'm able to do, work should be even easier, you know, all the time. My relationship with the wife should be, it's, you know, getting better and should be evident, right? So, like I said, if you're not, then let's figure it out. stop and figure out what the problem is. Go back to Colossians. It didn't seem as long as I thought it was going to be. I can't believe it. It was amazing. We made it. So I was like, you guys are stuck in the house. We don't have to leave at one. I can keep going and preaching. All right. So we need to be the last part. And thankful for the truth. It should be another thing how you can be, it should be evident, right? If you're no longer thanking the Lord every day for the truth, for where He's brought you from, then you need to stop and rethink everything, because take a look, stop and look where He brought you from, and look, here, He brought you here today, and look around you with the people that He's put you amongst, and the other people that are pressing and have heard the truth, and that He's opened our eyes. I mean, every day we should be thankful for all those things, and I'm thanking Him, every day for that. Look at 1 Timothy 1. Verse 12. Says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, so that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was definitely thankful because he knew where he came from, persecuting the church. He was doing really bad things. So you remember, he was, thankful to the Lord because the Lord had mercy on him, and and because He loved him and He gave him His grace, He saved Paul. And it's the same thing for us. Every day we should be thankful for what the Lord brought us, and thankful for that truth, because that truth is brought you here today, that saved you, that started off this whole journey at the very beginning. Start in verse 6, that truth that saved us. Okay, nothing has changed. And on the Lord's end, it's all the same. That truth that you heard that got you fired up about it when you came here, okay, it's still the same. That truth is still the same. And the Lord is still faithful, and He still keeps His promises in His Word. Okay, so what if there's something wrong, then what? It's on your end. It's on our end. What's the problem here? And you figure it out, and make sure that you're, walking in His truth, that you're continuing to do all these things, and thankful for His truth. Like I said, that's another evidence of what growing and moving forward, walking in with the Lord, being thankful every single day. I think if you're in the right place and you're walking with the Lord, you can't help but be thankful, right? Let's go ahead and pass it this way. So let's pray. Dang, John, tell me that whole da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to. In my mind, it was not going to go that way. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for, again, for Your Word. And I thank You for just the clarity, Lord, how You show us how we need to be walking with You, Lord, and the warnings, Lord, You give, and I'm thankful that we get it every single week, Lord, but along with everybody else, but I don't want to stand before You one day and if I didn't do anything with it, being a person that was so blessed, that'd be a shame. And so I pray that we would take what we hear and take what You give us every day, Lord, and that we would walk in the truth that we were saved in, Lord, and we wouldn't forget that, and every single day, because we can't. If we do, then we're going to fall. it's guaranteed. And so, Lord, I pray that every one of us, Lord, would take your truth and just continue to take it in and apply it to our lives. And I pray that we would be able to stand before you unashamed, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.